Okay, the shir is Le'ili Nishmas Ephraim ben Ashanjel. We left off with one point from the Malacha Bora, and then we'll try to see if we can move on to our next Malacha today. So one of the basic principles we've been discussing is in Bora has been how Bora ultimately depends upon really one factor. Is it being done derech achila or not? If it's being done in the context of achila, then basically Bora is permissible. It's not called derech malacha, it's called just the extension of the eating process. However, if it cannot meet the criteria of the halacha being labeled as derech achila, then it becomes a very, very problem. Now it becomes really an issur malacha min haTorah. What exactly makes something derech achila not? So the Gemara almost presented us really three different criteria, and it's really the interplay of these criteria that ultimately makes the call whether it's derech achila or not. One of them being, are you taking the good from the bad? That's usually what people eat. They take that which they want. If it's being done for immediate use, and if it's being done using one's hands. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that it's really a combination of all three of those factors that declare it to be derech achila. But we've already seen that sometimes you may have other circumstances that arise where maybe one of those factors may be negotiable if something is absolutely 100% objectively derech achila. So maybe one could argue that even all three of those factors aren't always necessary. We spoke a lot about that in terms of appealing, those kinds of aspects of the subject. So there's one last point that becomes relevant to this, a very, very common shayla, and that is an issue that the Mishnah Berurah raises in the Be'er Halacha about, he coins it's a new phrase called the Yad L'Peh. Namely, a person is being Borer, not that he's being Borer 20 minutes beforehand, which maybe that's good enough in terms of some of the Suda, but he's being Borer literally as he's eating. He has Pshuto Kimashmo, literally has the food in his hand, and as he has the food in his hand, he's pushing away, he's plucking away at some of the bad part. So we'll give the example of the watermelon seeds for the, in the old days, in the back list, in the your previous generations, people had watermelon seeds. So the guy's holding a piece of watermelon, he's about to put the watermelon into his hand, and he just plucks off the black seeds. So we thought, that's a terrible, that's not a shalabon, it's a serious shalabon, right? Even though you're doing it with your hands, and you're doing it for immediate use, but you're doing solos mit ochel, and when we pass from shulchan aruch, solos mit ochel is always a problem. So the Be'er Halacha raises the possibility that maybe this is different. But when do we paskin souls with the ochel is always a problem. That's if you're not mamish eating. But you're mamish eating, you hold it in your hand, you're putting it in the yad, you're putting it into your mouth. So then, ein lucha derech achila go l'mito. That's considered to be such an absolute objective way of eating that trumps even the otherwise requirement of taking ochel min hapsolos. So the Mishnah Berurah raises the shayla, and then he goes on to present that he thinks it's a machlokes in Rishonim. He dug up a diyuk in a Ramban, a Masechta Shabbos, that seems to say it's mutter. He dug up a Tshuvas HaRosh, that seems to say it's also, he made a whole machlokes out of it. So the Chazanish didn't think this was correct. The Chazanish thought that this new category doesn't appear in the Gemara, doesn't appear explicitly in the Rishonim. He didn't think the Ramban meant what the Rebbe Allah taught him. And the Chazanish argued that Miyad L'Peh is the same as anything else. And always it just falls back on the regular rule of the Borer, and therefore it's also the Ochel would be a problem. So again, it's hard for me to be a Machriya between the Mishnah Berurah thought it was a Machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah himself wasn't convinced it's Mutter, but the Mishnah Berurah thought it was a Machlokes. The Chazanish thought it was also a Gamrei, right? So maybe we can put this in, almost like a little bit of a Limud Chos. We've been speaking a lot about people who, in the context of their eating, they're pushing away the chicken bones away from the chicken, they're pushing away the fish bones from the fish, they're doing all kinds of things that raise potential questions about Borah. So we have certain other kulas that we've talked about in the past, so maybe this is a little bit of Odi Shlomo. If you see somebody doing this, so then you don't have to scream from the rooftops, Chil Shabbos, you could scream, Safi Chil Shabbos. Maybe, we're not sure what the person is doing. What a Rabbanim, Shiva doesn't say Shiva, Shiva, retired really. But he once told me that there was a boy in the dormitory who was, one of his friends saw him doing something real, I'm sure real mama, Nisa Gomer, or Minav Torah. But the other hand, the boy was doing it, back where he came from, I'm not really sure, did he really know what he was doing, but he was blatantly doing something that was also Minav Torah. So this Rav said, you should go off with him and start screaming, yo, bomb, yo, this, and don't do it. Just put your arm around him nicely and say, a bomb. Just say it nicely. You didn't mean it to say, we'll call him a bomb. So just say it nicely. Whatever you say, if you give him a nicely, it doesn't matter so much what you say. So over here, I wouldn't necessarily start screaming Chol Shabbos. On the other hand, Lechad Chila, if somebody asked me, should they be making on the Shabbos? I don't know. I'm not trying to put my shoulders to say that one can be making one on half the Rishonim that the Mishnah Berurah claims exist, and the Chazanish says don't exist altogether. So again, the Lechad Chila, we should fall back on our regular rules in terms of Hilchos Borer, and we should only do Borer if all three of these conditions are actually met. So me, I'd be out of
the. What's Borer's application to non-food items?
Oh, that was the last thing we were supposed to talk about. This was the second to last thing, and this is the last thing. Yeah, good thing you called me before I stuck onto the next thing. Okay.
You're using a slotted spoon.
Yeah, that's a clay. I think that's a problem. I think that's a problem, yeah.
For liquid food, if you need to throw your rice, for example.
Yeah, I think any liquid food, you shouldn't use a fork, you should only use a regular spoon. I think when you have even if you have chicken with a lot of gravy or something, people don't want all the gravy in the bottom, so you should put a spoon in there rather than a fork. If you take a fork and you stick the chicken in, that's one thing. A lot of people, they pick the fork up, and then the gravy slips down, so I think that's a problem, using a fork. That's a little bit of a mention to me. The issue of voter with non-food items. Yeah, the post can say that by the time this stuff is going to the sink, it's all psalms already. So you're not really being borrowed up of psalms, you're just doing psalms all together. You're not really, it's not really the separate, you just want to get rid of everything. It's just that you don't want to clog up the sink. But so you don't really have anything you want. If you somehow using the strainer or the sink to strain your soup that you want to eat, so then, and then you invite somebody else for Shabbos. Okay. So getting back to our Baruch Shabbos in terms of other kinds of items. So in the Gemara, it's not explicit. In Shulchan Aruch, it's not explicit that there is even Baruch on other kinds of items. So the Taz is the first one who says it explicitly, that there is Baruch on Kalim, there would be Baruch on Svarim, Baruch on Begadim, things of that nature. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Taz just outright that there's a problem with Baruch. Other Acharonim question is, we're not 100% sure that this should be so. Why it shouldn't be so is also not clear. Some Acharonim say because the pieces are so big, they're so recognizable, it's a Nikola Ayin, and therefore that wouldn't be subject to Baruch altogether. If you look at all the Svarim, all the English Svarim that have come out in the last 50 years, the Shabbos, so they'll all say to you, in one fell swoop, of course there's Baruch on socks, and there's Baruch on Svarim, and there's Baruch on silverware, everything's Baruch, all kind of came out of the coat. There's Baruch on, and then maybe in a footnote, if you're lucky, in the bottom, it'll say something like, the Ayin Rosh HaShulchan says it doesn't exist, and Ayin Rosh Smech doesn't exist, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, and the later Poskim quote it, and the Chachila, we should assume this way. It's hard to be outright makel. The same thing, if you see somebody else doing it, maybe you can be makel not to correct them, but the Ikamikra, we're not 100% sure whether there is Baruch on these kinds of things, and therefore one should try to be machmer to apply the rules of Baruch on these kinds of things. What that would mean is, the same kind of rules. Namely, if you need it for right away, let's say you have a tremendous pile of svarim all over, total shulchan of svarim all over the place on the table, and I need one sefer, so I can pull out the one sefer that I want if I want to learn from it right away, because that's called for immediate use. However, if I want to sort out the svarim for later, so that could potentially be a problem. The svarim are really, really mixed up. So you're very firm and you have a lot of real time chacham. You have 15,000 svarim open in front of you, so you have more of a problem by reading. You're a simple guy, just reading Gemara, so it's easier chance.
If there's a pile of svarim, you want to clean up the shul, put the siddurim back, put the chumash in different places, that's a problem.
Yeah, I don't want to say that publicly because I don't want to discourage people from helping cleaning up the shul. But what the poskim say, the Shmur Shabbos quotes, what you can do is miyad lepeh. And I'm sorry, The cloud was in Abol Yado. I don't want to say it was in Abol Yado. So good thing the video wasn't yet. A little bit not a good presentation. So in Abol Yado, the Shmur Shabbos says that, let's say you have a big pile of silverware. So you're not really supposed to separate the forks and the spoons and the knives. What you can do is, literally or figuratively, close your eyes and grab it off. No, whatever comes to my hand, I'll get a fork in my hand, okay, good one, I'll put the fork into its place. Then I put my hand in again, I'm not looking, I'm not planting, I'm not looking, let me grab all the forks, I'm just putting it all together, though, that'll be okay. So the pile, the same is true from Svarim. So I'm not looking to plant it, whatever. I say, you among these piles, and the first thing in the pile, okay, good, just sit up, great. I put the sit away. If I start scrounging around, let me collect all 20 sidurim first, that way I don't have to make 15 trips. So that would be a potential issue of Baruch going to some. Going to some, not everybody. So. But the other, those who, if somebody ever, in the course for 15 years, you did Baruch in the Siddur, the Chumash, and the Shul, but the other could still use the Siddur. So the other could still
use the Siddur. That's the only true with toys. You have a mixture of 10 different toys. You yeah. Away. It's a mess.
Right. So you have to close your eyes and ball the other, right? You have to just grab whatever comes your way. Even though it's going to become a lot longer to do it that way, although, according to many posts, that would be probably better. Okay, so I see some wives are not going to be happy with some of the things I just said, including my own, but that's I think that's what we should probably.
That's where we scattered
together. Right, don't together, right. Yeah, yeah, let's say, it's what's safe from here, safe from here, and safe from here, that's not called Baruch. Right. It's only if it's given away this very messy impression. Okay, any last Baruch Shalom before we move on? Okay, we'll move on to the next Malacha. All right, so the next Malacha is the Malacha of Tochei. Malacha Tochen, wow, this malacha sounds like it's not relevant for us at all. Tochen means you take wheat and you put it into a grinder or something, put it into a mill, and you turn it into flour. That's the Malacha Tochen. So the Gemara of Sefer Shabbos tells us that the Malacha Tochen, although that's the classic Malacha Tochen, the idea of Malacha Tochen, the principle of Tochen is you're taking a big item and you're basically cutting it up into little pieces. And that's also considered to be Tochen. So even though you're not dealing with wheat per se, you're dealing with other kinds of items, that would also be a Torah prohibition of Tochen. What would be a practical example of this? So the Gemara gives us an example. The only thing is, we're not exactly sure what that example is. So Rashi on the spot writes that the example is cutting up a vegetable. If you cut a vegetable into little pieces, if you cut them into little pieces, that is considered to be an issur d'oraisa of Tochen. So on the spot, the Rush questions this interpretation of Rashi. The Rush says that Tochen only makes sense when you're dealing with something that wasn't really usable beforehand, that wasn't really edible before, let's say a grain. You can't eat, I mean, in theory, you can chew on a piece of raw grain, but that's not the normal way of using grain. So the goal of cutting up grain is to make it and to become more edible, and you can eventually turn it into a bread. So therefore, I understand that this process of taking a big piece of grain and then putting it into a mill and turning it into flour, so that makes sense. That's considered to be Tochen. Because if I take a cucumber, I could have eaten the cucumber the way it was, cut into little pieces. So I'm eating the same cucumber, just cut into little pieces. Ain't Tochen ba'oichon, just something that's already in a state of being edible, there wouldn't be any Tochen altogether. So if that's the argument of the Rush, what is the Gemara talking about? So the Rush reinterprets the word in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say the word cucumber. The Gemara talks about give some kind of Aramaic word. So the Rush says what that word means is a piece of wood. What the Gemara is describing is that a person is taking a piece of wood and basically sawing it down, basically chopping it up into little pieces, and whatever, he wants to use those pieces for something. So that would be a problem of Tochen. If you just take a cucumber and cut it up, so ain't Tochen ba'oichon. That's what the Rush argues. What are the other Rishonim have to say about this topic? So the Rambam has a very unique formulation in quoting this Gemara. The Rambam writes the Chot Chesed Yerek, and he includes this in the Issa Derais of Tochen, but he adds a word. The Rambam writes the Chot Chesed Yerek Levashlo. If a person cuts up a vegetable for the purpose of cooking this vegetable, that is a violation of Tochen. So what's the impression you get from the Rambam? The Rambam is almost walking a tightrope right between Rashi and the Rush. Unlike the Rush, who says that there's no Tochen Ba'ichlin, unlike Rashi, who says there's always Tochen Ba'ichlin, the Rambam seems to understand that if the Tochen is part of the process, it's leading up to the next stage. I'm cutting the vegetable, not just to eat a small pizza, but I'm doing it because that's the way you prepare this vegetable for the next stage. That is considered to be a Malach of Tochen. So this is just the striking idea that the Rambam is telling us, that you can have the same action. If I'm doing it for the purposes of Kidei Levashel, it would be Osir. If I'm doing it not Kidei Levashel, it would be Mutter. So this is a very unique understanding in the Rambam that is highlighting this idea that sometimes when we pass a Shaila and a given Malacha, you cannot look in a vacuum. You cannot just look at this particular Malacha. Sometimes you have to look, is this part of a process of other Malachas? So Bishul is a Malacha. Bishul is the ultimate Malacha here. If I do something Kidei Levashel, I'm doing it to lead up to Malacha B, so then A becomes a Malacha. If my Kabbalah is not to lead up to B, then it's not a Malacha. So we have almost a similar idea, really backwards. Namely, if you remember back a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the Malacha of Ma'amir. So Ma'amir means to gather together, gather the sheaves together in the field. So Tosfos had a Chiddush Gadol that says Beit, and Tosfos writes that they think that the Issur of Ma'amir only applies to Mokham Gedula, only where the sheaves actually grew. Yeah, in the fields, that's considered to be Ma'amir. If you have a bunch of stalks of grain on the floor in the living room, and you gather them together, that's not called Ma'amir. What's the difference? At the end of the day, I gathered sheaves, what's the difference where I grew? So we gave an interpretation a couple of weeks ago, that maybe Tosfos understood that Ma'amir is like the Gemar of Malachas Kaitzer. First you harvest, and then part of the harvesting process is you harvest and you collect what you harvested. So if you're gathering the grain together in the place of the harvest, so then we can say that's the Gemara Katsia. But if you're doing it in your house already, that's a different mindset. It's nothing to do with the previous Malacha. So here you have the exact identical action. And all of a sudden it makes a difference whether it's considered to be part of a previous Malacha or part of a future Malacha. So it's an interesting idea that Malachas are not always judged on their own criteria. So Malachas are, let's say, for example, Bishop. So either cooked or didn't cook, it doesn't matter what my next plan is. If a person writes on Shabbos, it doesn't matter what their next plan is. But tzur malachas do depend on what the future is going to bring. if a person rips something, if they're planning on reselling it, that's called a malacha. If not, not. If a person erases something, maybe it's only called a malacha, they're planning on rewriting it again. So sometimes future and past malachas play a role, and sometimes not. So you got to learn a lot of us at the shop to figure out what the rules are.
What happens if the item is ready cooked? Like, for instance, a hard-boiled egg that you want to
cook? Oh, so we didn't even talk about non-vivla karkia. That's right, the next step. Okay? So we have really three different approaches in the Rishon, and what I take is on cutting up vegetables. So you have Rashi says it's a nisidiraisa. You have the Rashi says the whole thing doesn't exist, and the Rashi says, and the Rambam says you have to take it case by case. So the Trumas Hadeshen, that's almost like an addendum to this discussion. Trumas Hadeshen was one of the Rabbanim in the end of the period of the Ashkenazim in Germany, the very, very end of the 1400s. So the Trumas Hadeshen was a good Lador at the time. So he wrote fascinating Shas and Trumas. What was fascinating was that nobody asked him the Shilas. He wrote up his own shilas. He had certain shilas he wanted to say, so he wrote in as if somebody was writing the shilas. That's where he always had the most exciting shilas, because he'd make him up himself. It's kind of like the Friday night shilas, but I try not to go. I try to have a Israel. Only when I get desperate, it's like 5 minutes before Mincha, I realize I'd like to talk about it, and then I follow the Trumas Hadeshen's mode. But normally we try to get the real stuff. So the Trumas Hadeshen discusses the following. He says, what would the din be about, forget about cutting vegetables into little pieces, what about cutting a piece of meat into little pieces, or cutting chicken into little pieces, or cutting eggs into little pieces? What would we say about that? So this is a throwback to something that we spoke about in the past, about the notion of gedulei karka. That sometimes in Hilchos Shabbos, gedulei karka, things that grow on the ground, play a significant role. We spoke a lot about this in terms of the law of Disha. Remember back to threshing, back to milking cows, and women nursing, and bleeding, and all kinds of different things that have to do with extracting one thing from another. So we saw a whole discussion in the Gemara and the Rishonim whether this malach is limited to gedulei karka. We spoke about it in terms of kotzer. Can you have kotzer shalom gedulei karka? This is not even a common refrain. So Trumas Hadeshen throws this line at us in the truth, and he says that even though if you cut up a cucumber into little pieces, that may be a shava deraisa, but if you cut an egg into little pieces, or you cut a piece of chicken or a piece of meat into little pieces, that would be okay. That's not considered to be a malach of taken. The question is, what's the difference? So one could simply take the approach that Mishkan, just hide behind the Mishkan and say that this is one of those malachas that is limited to gedulei karka, finished. So that's always very, very tricky to do that, because we're not Tanoim. We don't have those shoulders to make that kind of a statement. This malacha is only Mishkan oriented. Even the Tanoim weren't sure about certain malachas. Even the Tanoim had a machlok is about yesh dish, but gedulei shlo gedulei karka now. So for us to make a strong statement and say this malacha is limited to gedulei karka, like Mechit Tesi. Other malachas are not. Bishul was not limited to gedulei karka. A lot of malachas are not limited to things that grow on the ground. So who are we to make such a statement? So that could be what the Trumas Hadeshen is saying. He is making, going on records and making that statement. Or maybe what the Trumas Hadeshen is just saying is as follows, that when we're dealing with food items, so food items anyway, they have a strike against us. Food items don't really seem to be classic tochen. Proof positive, the rush said they're not talking altogether. The rush with the whole thing. The rush would have walked down the street, would have taken this building and left 20 minutes ago. There's nothing to talk about, says the rush. Well, yeah, how can a tzaddik wasting time talking about Teuchen and Oakland? There's no such thing. So we accept the idea that there is Teuchen on Oakland, but maybe we only accept that model of Teuchen Oakland when it's really, really meets the criteria of Teuchen. It really looks like the Teuchen of the Mishkan. Because if the Teuchen of the Mishkan was gedulei karka, if what you're dealing with, it's not gedulei karka, and you're not really accomplishing all that much with your Teuchen, that kind of a Teuchen is not really Teuchen. That's what the Trumas Hadeshen suggests. So we're not exactly sure what the Trumas Hadeshen meant, but La Halacha, we do accept that distinction. We pass in La Halacha, L'chumra and L'kula. So we're machmir that we will not do Teuchen on vegetables, fruits, vegetables, etc. Those things we will shy away from in terms of doing Teuchen. On the other hand, when it comes to an egg, or it comes to a chicken, or it comes to meat, something like that, then we do permit Teuchen. So we would permit to cut, let's say you want to cut a piece of chicken for a kid or something, but all the person, you can cut the chicken and the meat into little pieces, and you don't even have to worry, we don't have to be concerned with an issue of Teuchen. The only thing that is off limits is if a person uses a grinder. So using a kli am yuchelikach, using a kli that's used for the purposes of Teuchen, so that would be a potential problem, maybe a problem with the Rabbanon, but that should be avoided. But if it's just cutting with a fork and a knife or something, little shreds of chicken, that would be okay. But to do the equivalent of that to cucumbers or tomatoes or apples or other things, to cut it to little pieces would be a potential problem. I think maybe there's a solution for the problem, but it would be a potential problem.
We're talking about using like a back of a fork.
No, that's not really a klim yuchalcha. Klim yuchalcha means like a grinder. Oh, slicer is a rabbi's machadish. A slicer is not tochen. He says tochen. The lashon Rishon uses a chotkas ayir dak dak. Cut into little pieces. Slices are big pieces, they're just very thin pieces. So he thought that wasn't talking about the other. So Muhammad is cool. Okay, yeah, we got a long way to go. We're barely scratched the surface of Tukhan.
What is that?
But we got a while to go with that also. So again, let's just get again. The basic principle is it's all based on this one Gemara that Rashi learned in a certain way, the Rashi learned another way, the Rambam learned another way, and in Shulchan Aruch we have Machmir. That there is a potential problem of tochen on chotkas ayir dak dak. Nevertheless, that would only apply to the gula karak, and not the gula karak, everything would be okay. There is another factor that gets thrown into this mix in terms of what's considered to be part of tochen, and that is an issue that some of the Rishonim raise. It's called ein tochen acha tochen. Let's say if a person has a piece of a bread, a piece of matzah, or a cookie, or cake, or something, so then a group of Rishonim write, then it's perfectly okay to take that cookie or cake and just crumble it up. You can take your piece of matzah and break it up into a little matzah meal or something. That you can do on Shabbos. Why is that? Because it was already tachun. It was already ground. When was it ground? It was ground back in the mill. It was ground a long time ago before it made its way to the shmur matzah maker. It was already turned into flour. So now we took that flour and you mixed it with the water and reconstituted and made it into a matzah. Now when you're breaking it up again, you're just repeating the process that was done earlier. So the Sefer Yireiim, the Talmid of Rabbi Natan, the Blazin Mitz, is quoted as saying that ain't teichen acha teichen, that the malach of teichen wouldn't apply under those circumstances. And other Rishonim are not so sure that that's true. That it doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara that ain't teichen acha teichen. But again, some of the Rishonim were convinced that that principle would be true.
Even with,
according to those who showed him, say that ain't tochen acha tochen, would it be muta even with the clear miyuchah v'kach? Yeah, I think something's not. It's not even tochen. It's not even tochen. I think minatar for sure would be muta, but there's something rabban of luchot. But minatar for sure would be muta. So the question is, what does that mean exactly? Ain't tochen. What's the klal based on? I mean, we are familiar with this klal from other areas of halacha. We do have rule in bishul acha bishul. This klal not made up, it's not in a vacuum. But to apply to tochen does not appear in the Gemara. The earliest are the Rishonim. Some Rishonim had this klal, and Rishonim said they never heard of such a klal. Within this klal of ein tochen acha tochen, there seems to be a further shaila as to what exactly the parameters of this klal are. Again, if you deny the klal, then she's over. But if you accept the klal, so then there's a further breakdown of what exactly it means. So there is a Mishnah Melech of all places, in Uchas Chometz and Matzah, that discusses this shaila. He discusses the person who on Shabbos, on Erev Pesach, Chalos B'Shabbos, comes to the realization that he has a lot of Chometz left. I remember we had this, not the last time, but 2 times ago, we said Pesach Chalos B'Shabbos. It was the 1 year of the last 20 years. Nobody should take this out of context that I went away for Pesach. It was the 1 year that I was no longer the Rav in Paramus, and it was the year we were building the shul, so I was technically a free agent that year. So we went to my brother-in-law for the start. That was as far as we went to Monsi. We went to my brother-in-law for the Pesach. So that year was the Pesach Chalos B'Shabbos. So we had a lot of people, in-laws were there, my brother-in-law were there, it was a crowded house, and we were trying to make a cheshbon how much challah we needed for the meals and our Pesach. It was complicated, so we were buying challah rolls. So I was making a quick cheshbon. I said, we had 25 people, whatever, 30 people, whatever it was. So I said, okay, you know what? That's 3 sudas. Each one needs a challah roll. So we made a quick calculator, 75 challah rolls. So of course, I was assuming that everybody ate Chazanish, because Shirim of Kabetzas to the Yatzel Chachiva, each of the Suda Shabbos. I assume that all the women realized that they're all Chayavas and all 3 meals of the Shabbos. And I assume that all the kids will be, the Lechidach, were also going to be eating the Suda Shabbos. So by 10 o'clock in the morning, I realized we had about 65 kalamos left. So we had to think fast what to do with that. So one of the solutions, one of the brilliant solutions that came up with it, no problem. So Shteit and Shulchan Aruch Mefarev is Oil Ruch. So Matal Yam. So you just break it up into little pieces and you Matal Yam. You throw it into the ocean. So the post can say, what's the modern day equivalent? You throw it into the toilet, flush down the toilet. So I was quickly informed that probably not the smartest move to flush 65 challah rolls down the toilet. So although we did one or two just as a token thing, but you should just see how chinuch, it's a powerful lesson, you know, about chinuch. You see the things that kids remember. If you ask my kids now, this was, how many years ago was the shul already going? It's 15 years, okay? So this was 15 years ago, basically. If you ask my kids now, they will still remember that imagery of one of my brothers, of Nati, standing there and trying to break a piece of challah off, going into the toilet on Shabbos morning. That's the image of 15 years. I remember the lachat, the pressure. It's almost like a Brahm's man, and they're trying to get rid of themselves. And the end, what we had to do is that there was a guy in the house, there's a non-Jewish woman in the house, so we had to give her everything as a matan, and then she had to take it actually outside, and she had a car with her, so she put it onto a car. She had every hakal mikal car, we gave her 75 challah stars of matana, and that was the end of the day. Last time when this happened, so my wife went for shopping for the challah rolls, and of course we ran out of challah, we didn't have any challah for the challah, you know, so eventually by the next time this rolled around, we'll try to get it down pat. Anyway, so in the middle of that discussion, so the Mishnah Melech also had the saga, he must have also overbooked the challah rolls, and the Mishnah Melech discussed this, so what exactly is he supposed to do? So the lashon of the Mishnah is, the fire is a leruach, so you have to mefar, you have to break it up into little pieces. So the Mishnah Melech says, wait a second, you're going to be mafari. You're going to start to crush up the challah and break the challah into little pieces and crumble it up. It's Shabbos. The shot of toichen. So Mishnah Melech says, nah, it's not toichen. You know why? Ain toichen, acha toichen. So says Mishnah Melech, not so fast, not so simple. Why? When you say ain toichen, acha toichen, that's when you're not really, really trying to get into mamish tiny, 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 tiny pieces. But here you're trying to break it down, adish and dock, to get it to be mamish as small as possible. It says the Mishnah Melech, I'm not so sure they talk about the tides over here. Sister Tyra, what do the words mean? So what the Mishnah Melech seems to be saying is that ain't toichen achat toichen almost means like you're not really accomplishing anything. I mean, been there, done that already. I mean, it's like the food was already cooked, and now you're just reheating it. So the food was already ground up, so you're just regrinding, you're just doing what you did originally. But if your goal is to get it so docked, to get it to be so small, and you're really, really, you are trying to accomplish something. You're not just, this is not just the person who's taking a piece of matzah, kind of breaking a few pieces of matzah, putting into a soup, whether we should or should not be doing that on Shabbos. Forget about kabrach, so other whole Shabbos issues. And we're not talking about a guy who's breaking matzah into little pieces. We're talking about a guy who's taking and pulverizing a challah. So you're doing such a chash of a thing by breaking into the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest pieces. Maybe that would be a problem. So according to this Mishnah Melech's version of these Rishonim, ain't tochen echa tochen, it's not an absolute rule. A case. If what you're doing is not so important, then ain't talking about talking. What you're doing is really, really significant. You're accomplishing, then it would be a problem. So the Chazanish had a cool here. The Chazanish said that's not what the Rishonim did. And they said the reason why Intochen is because the Malach of Toichen only applies when you have a natural connection. If I take a cucumber and I cut it up, who created the bonds, the molecules that connect the cucumber? The Rosh Hashanah created all the molecules of everything. But the cucumber is in a natural state. The reason why the pieces of this cucumber connected to that cucumber, because that's where the Rebbe Shalom created it. The reason why this donut, why is part of the donut connected to the other part of the donut? Not because, I mean, the Rebbe Shalom obviously created everything, but why is the donut look the way it did? Because somebody back in Dunkin' Donuts, probably before Dunkin' Donuts, somebody broke it into flour, and then somebody reconnected those pieces of flour together through the process of making it into a dough, and that is those bonds were human bonds. Those are not natural bonds. Those are artificial bonds. So the breaking of those bonds, the breaking up of that chefza, that's not malachas toichin.
Would there be a difference if you take a cucumber that's either pickled or in chicken soup, and then try and cut that up versus...
No, well, if it was pickled, it's still the way it was.
Right, and same thing with...
But it's still natural. It was never broken up yet.
Right, or that which is cooked in the...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was never broken up. The point is that if the reason why... The reason why it's mechuba yachad, you have to look at a donut. Tell me the difference between a cucumber and a donut, besides calories. So you look at a cucumber. So this cucumber is basically a natural connection. So it's a chibur TV. So a chibur TV is subject to tachin. A donut is not a chibur TV. It's a chibur made by the Dunkin' Donuts.
Right, I was just saying in terms of taking it and doing something to it.
That would be a problem. Either one would be a problem. Cutting up a pickle would be a problem. Cutting up a carrot in the soup would be a problem. Either one of those would be a problem. So again, how does all this tochen story, how does this all play out in terms of our foods? So again, although there was machlekes and rishonim, they're talking machlal on food, we are chayshish, is machmir for this. And whether or not it applies to tochen, acha tochen, that's already a question. The whole ain't acha tochen was also questionable. But now we come to a major factor in terms of lachas tochen, which really a throwback from Bora days. We referenced this a couple of weeks ago, that's the famous shittas of the Rashba. So the Rashba has a gavalad kekula and a chas tochen that could really, really solve a lot of issues. If we're sure that we pass it like it, and we're sure we apply it properly. The Rashba says that the same way we had this idea when it came to Borer, we could do an action, but it's been done in the context of Achila. We could label it as Derech Achila, but if it's Derech Achila's Mutter. So says the Rashba, just as Derech Achila was a matir by Borer, Derech Achila is a matir by Tochin as well. What criteria do we use to declare whether something is Derech Achila? So the criteria are the same as Borer. Now, obviously, Ochlam Solos is a meaningless criteria, that there is Ochlam Solos in Tochin. What was the factor that really ultimately determined whether something was Derech Achila is the time context, namely, you're doing it right away. If I'm doing it for immediate use, so that's considered to be Derech Achila. Therefore, the Rashba says, if you cut up a carrot, cut up an apple for immediate use, even though you're doing it dot, I'm cutting into little pieces, that would be mutter. That's mutter l'chatchila. The same way that it's mutter to do borer b'yadayim for immediate use, it's mutter b'tochen as well, provided that you don't do it with a kli. Because again, the model is from borer. What would that mean with a kli? So it has to be a kli shel tochen. The same way that borer, a spoon is not really a kli for borer. Borer has to be a borer to a kli. So to a beer would have to be a tochen to a kli. So if you grind something for immediate use, that would be a problem if you use a grinder. But if you just use a fork and a knife is not a kli and a yuchad. The gold knives are not really to cut things into little pieces. So you use knives to cut, but not to be a tochen dak. So if a person is using a fork, a knife, things like that, or his mamash's hands and breaking things into little pieces, so the Rashba says, as long as it's being done for immediate use, that would be okay. So that's a tremendous chiddush in the Rashba. And other Rishonim said, we never heard of such a thing. When it comes to Borer, the Gemara says it explicitly, Masechta Shabbos is a principle of Lialta, of Miyad. But when it comes to Tov, there is no such thing. Gemara, so the Rashba says, we have a right to extract with the same halachic principle. The Rishonim said, Hecha Teisa, we have a right to say that. So how do we pass in the halacha on the Shaila? So this starts to combine all the factors that we're talking about. So the Ramah is Mekel Mikra Din. The Ramah quotes the Rashba Mikra Din to be Mekel. And many, many others were not so sure this is true. So the Mishnah Berurah comes up almost with a pshara. The Mishnah Berurah says, maybe we should do as follows. The guy wants to cut his carrots. So should we tell him that it's mutter or not? So the Mishnah Berurah says, it depends. How small are those pieces of the carrots? So remember we said, Chotech is a yerach, in order to be toichen, the Rishonim used the phrase, dak dak. That's the imamish, mamish small. How small is small? It's kind of hard to know. So don't feel bad if you don't know the Uray, the Sefer Uray, one of the Rishonim says, he also is not sure. His wife asked him, can I cut like that? It's hard to know how small is small. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends this follows. If a person is cutting something, they should try not to cut it too small. Don't sit there and cut your cucumbers into teeny, teeny pieces. Cut them into a little bit larger than you would cut them during the week. Don't make it that bad. But in addition, since it's not always easy to tell where the line of demarcation is, always do it right before the meal as well. So that way you always have the Rashba in your back pocket. You can always say, even if I made my vegetables a little bit too small, at least if I had the Rashba was mutter. So we're not sure that you're cutting them so small anyway. Even if you're cutting them small, you always have the Rashba to rely on. That's how the Mishnah Berurah presents. That's how many, many later posts can quote this Mishnah Berurah, that the standard protocol of the Shabbos meal should be all cutting of salads and vegetables, fruits, etc. should be done, should be two things in mind. Number one, try that they shouldn't be too small. Again, it's hard to measure exactly. Try to be a little bigger than you would normally want. And number two, obviously without a kli, and without a kli of yuchel kach, and it should be done right before the meal. What's called right before the meal? Whatever you think right before the meal meant nuchas borer. So we said, last thing, you just came home from shul, that's called cutting your salads. That's not the right salads. What you should not be doing is, one should not be cutting the salads at 9 o'clock in the morning, then going to daven, and then coming and joining for the meal, which caused a whole stir in Burger Field when I said this to the women a couple of months ago. And everyone got a little into panic mode about everyone was cutting the salads in the morning, and we changed everything. So yeah, I didn't change anything. That's the Rashba changed everything. So you should try. The Rashba was the Mekel. So he said that you don't have to worry about Borer. If you don't have to worry about Teichel, you do it right away. So again, the Chatchila, that should be the process that we should follow. Hopefully, next week we'll try to talk about a little bit more this place at Lamaisa. We'll talk a little bit more about mashing, about some of the issues with the mashing bananas and the avocados, that kind of stuff. So we'll move into other aspects of Teichel.